Okay, here we are for Super Tatis for Parshas Chayesara. We'll start with two really interesting stories. The first story is a story about Rav Velvel Soloveitchik and his son, Rav Shmuel David Soloveitchik. So Rav Velvel asked his son, close the Gemara and let's go do something for Gmilas Chasadim. They had to work on something together. So it's totally fine, but his son answered back to him. He said, well, why are you saying you should close the Gemara? You know, there were people around. He said, there are other people who aren't learning right now that you could do and you could deal with it. So Rav Velvel responded. He said, my father, who was Rav Chaim Brisker, said a story about there was a Gon who was a big Baal Stucka and Baal Chesed, Rav Eliyahu Chaim Meisel from Lodz. And this particular individual, he did a lot. So the Dayanim said to Rav Chaim, all of its Stucka is making him lose his time in learning. And Rav Chaim Brisker responded back. He said, look, a Rav that doesn't know how to close the Gemara in order to do a tova for another yid, it is clear that even when his Gemara is open, it's closed. And the truth is also in the opposite direction, that a Rav that closes his Gemara in order to do a tova for another yid, even when his Gemara is closed, his Gemara is really open. So that's just a very important idea that people need to allow the Torah to take to action as well. So there's another story about somebody who was acting as an intermediary for Steinman, and there was a particular Avreich who had davened. He was having some difficult time. He bought a lottery ticket, and he asked through his sources to get Rav Steinman to daven for him to win the lottery. Obviously, there's been some ink being spread on whether or not you want to win the lottery or not. And the intermediary came back and he said, look, Rosh Hashiva is going to daven for you. That's totally fine. And I'm pretty confident, you know, if the Rosh Hashiva davens for you, then, you know, this really could happen. And he said the Rosh Hashiva started giving some etzos, started giving some advice. And what was the advice? He said, look, after a few minutes of talking, he started giving him Hadracha, what do you do when you have this medical issue? What do you do when you have this medical issue? What do you do when your children start to not really be so interested in their learning and they want to leave yeshiva? What do you do with all these other things? And all of a sudden he said, the intermediary said, why is the Rosh Yeshiva talking to me about all these things? We were just talking about a lotto ticket. So Steinman responded, you know, I'm not wishing for anything for you like this, Chas v'Shalom, but you should know that we came into this world to deal with nisyonos. We have challenges. And a life without dealing with nisyonos is really only for the Malachi Asharis and not for us. Every human has their challenges. Every human has their nisyonos. And often, in fact, very, very commonly, it's financial nisyonos. But you're davening now. You tell me, daven, that you're going to win the lottery. You win the lottery, all these financial nisyonos go away. And if you want those nisyonos to go away, I'm quite confident that other nisyonos will be put in their place. So I'm just telling you that should you want to, you know, to win the lottery, don't think that you're going to be living a life free of challenges. It's really the opposite. It's just that the challenges are going to be non-financial. So I thought that was a very important story for us all to remember, because fundamentally, we know that we're here to work. We don't daven for nisyonos. In fact, we ask for HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to test us specifically in ways that hurt. But notwithstanding all of that, Adam la'amol yilod, as it says in Iyov, man is really made to toil and to work and to grow, and the nisyonos really define who we are. So because of that, it's very important for us to remember that if a nisyon, we don't daven for them, But if any sin comes our way, we should try our very best to be up to the task. And we don't want to play a Kadosh Baruch Hu either. Kadosh Baruch Hu does know what's best for us, and we can follow his lead. So the Rechaim, Divrei Torah, a few of them. Rechaim says, it's talking about getting old and getting better. It says for the last 7 years of Sarah Imenu's life, it's a remez. It says Shanim, which is Lashon Rabim, it's plural, because she was wiser than she was before. So there's the idea that Ziknei Tamid Echachamim Mosifim Chochma. So that's the opposite of fools, meaning when a Tamid Chochom gets older and older, it's like their fine vintage wine. They just keep getting better and better. We see that by Sarah, and we probably also see that adding from Avram Avinu, Avram Zakin Baba Yomim, we see that he's extraordinarily fruitful. And he's done a ton, and just keeps being, as they say, Mosif Vaholich, which is kind of the idea. You know, there's this concept that people think about retirement, is that now is my time to be a person of leisure. Really, the Torah places a great value on something else, is that we don't retire from, we retire to. We try to put ourselves towards a goal and try to be Mosif Vaholich as well. Now Ashla. Eliezer is Hamoshel B'chol Asher Lo. So this is actually talking about Avram Avinu. And he says there's this concept, is that we know, there's a Rabbeinu Yonah in Mishlei towards this effect, and it's really a Dvar Pashut. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us wealth, he doesn't give us wealth for the purposes of capital appreciation. He gives us wealth to be able to do mitzvahs. And when a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us wealth, and we use it to do mitzvos, that is a great incentive to the Ribbono Shel Olam, as it were, kebiyachol, to want to do more. And vice versa is also true. When there you find somebody who is extraordinarily wealthy, but they don't increase with their wealth, their tztaka and their chesed and generally their generosity, it could be that there's actually something wrong with the money. He uses the term klipa, which is a Kabbalistic term, but nevertheless, the idea is that There's something is wrong in the mix. When we see somebody who gets wealthy and gives more and more and more, that's actually showing them that something is right. But somebody who's generous, they use all they have, right? This is why Yucham Levavitz Amir says that Yaakov Avinu goes back even for Pachim Katanim, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me this, so I need to use it appropriately. The Chidah, and so we see that by Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is Hamosha B'chol Asher. He has control over everything, meaning to say that he's using it appropriately. The Chidah also adds that this is part of Yaakov Avinu being called Shalim, because if somebody has kavana with what they're doing, even financially, even logistically, even with respect to taking care of their family for a mitzvah, then this counts towards using it appropriately in the Derech of Chesed. I mean, there's greater Chesed. I believe one of the Mefarshim on Mishlei says, Gomel Anafsho Yis Chesed, and he says there, that you know, you be gomel chesed to the whole world, and even more so for your family. This should be obvious, but just in case it isn't, it should be. So is that somebody who's taking care of their family and they have the kavana that they're doing chesed for the purpose of a mitzvah, then it's going to be counting like you're involved in mitzvah. And this is like the famous story of the Chafetz Chaim and the pharmacist, where, you know, Chafetz Chaim says to the pharmacist, you know, you're healing the ill all day, you know, you're doing a mitzvah, v'halach t'bidrachov, you're walking in Hashem's ways. And the pharmacist says, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just trying to earn an honest living here. And the Chafetz Chaim says, what a shame. If you just had the proper kavana, the proper intention, then you could have gotten all that time as a mitzvah. Al-Sheikh, now, why eulogize Sara Yimeinu? Why would he? There would be three reasons. The first one is you'd be sad because the world had kind of gotten a little bit turned upside down after the chait of Adam HaRishon. But Sara was metakenes with all of the things that she did. Second is you might be sad because Sara Yimeinu died early and she didn't have the opportunity to do all of the things that she was supposed to do here. And the third one is that you'd be sad for Avram Avinu because he lost his wife. Says that you can see in the psukim that none of these concerns took place with respect to this hesped. And none of them was the reason. One is because Rivka was born and she was also mitakenes. All those brachos that came with Sara Yimeinu were there with Rivka as well. He wasn't, you shouldn't be sad because Sarah died early, because it says Shanim three times to show that she fulfilled her tafkid. Everybody has a purpose in this world, and this was a hint to show that she had fulfilled her tafkid. And third, sad for Amav Aminu because he lost his wife. It says she said she died, but Kiryas Arba. It says, why was it mentioned Kiryas Arba? It mentions because that's all of where the sadness was, but not Amav Aminu. Amav Aminu had the Shechina about him. He had a lot of very special siyata d'shmaya. So therefore, Avraham Avinu didn't need to give his hesped for any of those reasons, but rather he was giving his hesped because he was he had a chiyuv to do it, and that was sufficient for him to want to do it, but not of any of those sad reasons. Last, or Achayim HaKadosh, I believe, Sari Minu, it says is 127. We have all our famous drushas. He says a very nice nechama and chizik to all of us. He says, you know, sometimes you run into a tzaddik that dies early. And when they die early, you start wondering whether or not they had the opportunity to do all of the things and get all the schar that they would have had they had a longer life. And he says, no, the comparison in between 100 years, 20 years, 7 years is an indication that a tzaddik doesn't lose out. If Kadosh Baruch Hu pulls them from the game, as it were, it's still okay because they'll still get the cheshbon that they were going to have last. Somebody asked me about, there's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Chochmah and Musar, Avilim Bazu. So Avilim, a fool, disgraces Chochmah and Musar. And they asked me, so what do we do if an Avil says this? And I said, it just happens to be that later Psukim address this very point. In Perk Chavav, 25 Prakim later, it says, An al ta'an ksioka avilto pentish velo gamata. Says, don't answer a fool in accordance with their foolishness, because maybe they'll consider you kind of on equal footing. Anek seal, but then the next pasuk says, the first one says, don't answer. The second one says, anek seal gavilto. Then you answer him according to his foolishness. Pen yiyya chacham be'enav, lest him be thinking that he is wise in his eyes. So it sounds like one is saying one thing, one is saying the other. Chazal, I'll give you a few answers, but check out the sheet that I had sent out. First one is that when it comes to Olam Hazeh matters, you and this is in the Amloes, you don't answer. But when it comes to Divrei Shamayim, things with regards to Mitzvos and Kodesh Baruch Hu, you can't let them think that they are right or wiser than you. Two, a second answer there, is if it's getting Leibedik. Leibedik means that they're getting very emotional, and then in those sorts of situations, it seems like it's going to be a fruitless exercise. But if you believe that you can persuade them with your great oratory and gentle demeanor, then you can answer. Das Sofrim says, look, you don't answer unless there is potential spiritual damage that will come from what they say. Last, I'll just give one more, and then we should get to our thinking question, is that Rav Moshe David Valley, the Talmud of the Ramchal, says, if it's ad hominem, meaning they are speaking about you, in those instances, don't answer. Just look at them like they're some sort of barking dog or an animal. But if it's minus, if it's apikorsis, something which is heretical and contrary to the Torah, then you have a chiyuv to answer. Last, let's do the thinking question for this week. And the thinking question goes as follows. At the end of Parshas Chayisara, in Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Yud Zion, it says, Ela told us Shnei Chaye Yishmael. And Rashi there says, he brings the Gemara in Megillah. He says, why is it that they count the years of Yishmael to be miyaches him to the years of Yaakov? Meaning to say, here Rashi in Megillah says, that it explains it. Why would you count the years of Yishmael? Why would we count the years of Rishayim, right? And then the problem is, a little bit earlier in Pasuk Tes, it says quite differently. It says that Yishmael did tshuva. So if he did tshuva, then he wasn't a Rasha when he died. So the Hava Mina of that Gemara cited sounds like it's making a stira in Rashi. So that means if he was not a Rasha, then you should count his years. And it sounds like it's a big stira in Rashi. So try to work on that with your families. All right, thanks for learning.